The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
We are now less than 5 days away from what could very possibly be the most drastic and the most disastrous decision in our city's region. I just cannot imagine the level of crime that we're going to have. As bad as it is now in Seattle, throughout the Puget Sound area, King County, the murders that we've had in the last few weeks, I cannot imagine what it's going to be like. A haven for criminals if our radical Seattle City Council decides to cut police by 50%. There was a city council meeting this morning on that very topic. And we got to cover this in depth for you because this is going to affect all of our region, all of Western Washington, dramatically. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
About 300 people flooded the city council meeting comments requests today. And it was professional activists. It was the Marxists that have been in play for a few years now, but they have just galvanized strength the last couple of months because some of the city council members have adopted this goal to destroy capitalism, to create an absolute chaotic situation, and to encourage as much crime as possible in Seattle. And as I said, this is leaked, of course, throughout the entire region. So in less than 5 days, on Monday morning, Seattle City Council is scheduled to vote on whether to make the most radical decision of any city in the country and cut the police, any major city, cut the police department by 50%. Criminals will be celebrating. Response times, we saw in CHOP when response times tripled for calls of rapes. Yeah, expect that. They went from 5 minutes to 18 minutes when we got the police out of Capitol Hill and their East Precinct. And all of a sudden, when you took the cops away from the city, the response time for crimes, what a shock. It more than tripled. And now they are determined. And these professionals, they had 45 seconds to speak at the city council meeting this morning. The Marxist professionals who have been mobilized by some very powerful forces around the country, and that's happening in cities all across the country, and this is no longer a secret. It's no longer, you know, some conspiracy theory. I mean, it's just factual. You had a lot of professionals who had a written script that was exactly 45 seconds because it was all prepared for many of them, not everyone that you're about to hear. But the people who are calling for, the people who want to see crime and chaos in our region, they outnumbered the law and order common sense people by a tremendous margin. And it does make me think that we have collectively lost our minds to think that we are going to be a better city, a better region, with cops cut dramatically and with criminals running around with no resistance. And we're already seeing, I've talked about this a lot the last few weeks, the killers of two black teenagers at CHOP remain free. Wait till you hear the criminal history. They just caught the guy who they believe murdered another man at an Aurora motel last week. Wait till you hear this guy's criminal history. But let's get to the breaking news of the afternoon, and that's the Seattle City Council meeting that has just ended. Before I play the clips from the meeting this morning, I want you to hear the mentality of one of the people who has voted in the first vote a couple of weeks ago to cut police by 50%. Teresa Mosqueda is a Seattle City Councilwoman. She did an interview with our friend Brandy Cruz at Q13. And one of the things that has been proposed, if they cut the police by 50%, one of the departments that they would eliminate is the SWAT team. The SWAT team that responds if, heaven forbid, there were to be a school shooting, a hostage situation, in a domestic violence, somebody holed up with guns. The SWAT team responds. And one of the proposals is to eliminate the Seattle Police SWAT team. Now, I want you to hear, because Teresa Mosqueda, when Brandy directly asked her about, you know, one of the plans is to cut the SWAT team. Listen to how Teresa Mosqueda answers that.
It's like eliminating the funding for the SWAT team. This is, and I know you haven't finalized anything, but the SWAT team would respond to an active shooting at a school. The SWAT team would respond to a hostage situation, which we've had in the city. So those types of proposals, are those things that we should really worry are being seriously considered?
So we're going through the proposals right now. One of the things that I think is important that folks across the city have asked for is for us to take officers away from our approach to dealing with the homelessness crisis. You know, for
okay, how, that tells you so much. It's a direct question. Will you really take away the SWAT team? And Teresa Mosqueda goes off on, well, we're going to take cops away from how they deal with the homeless. And Brandy, of course, being a great reporter, Brandy stays on it, even though Teresa Mosqueda tried to do her politician best to completely deflect from a reasonable question.
54% of folks in our state have said that they would like to see reinvestments upstream and divestments from the officers. We've seen that from two polls recently that the Seattleites really do want
to. They're split on the issue, and in fact, support for it has dropped since pre-CHOP levels, according to polls. They're still pretty split on it, but it's not overwhelming support.
It is an overwhelming call for us to reevaluate where the dollars go.
Sure, but I just want to get back to the SWAT team question instead of homelessness.
Okay.
Because, and good for Brandy, because Teresa Mosqueda tried to completely deflect, because they know that if they get rid of the SWAT team, they know that women being held in a domestic violence hostage situation are going to die. They know that if somebody goes into one of our schools, that more kids will be killed if we don't have any police that can respond to that with what the SWAT team is trained to do. So Mosqueda tried to completely duck the question and talk about homelessness, but Brandy stayed on the SWAT team.
I mean, an idea like that, is that something that we should really be led to believe that you're going to defund the SWAT team and there's not going to be a SWAT team?
Let's also be clear. There's not going to be a defunding of the entire police department, as I've said. There is definitely going to be an analysis of how large the SWAT team needs to be. But I think it's fair to ask the question, as I was mentioning before, about whether or not we need officers in the navigation team who are supposed to be responding to homelessness. I think those...
We're back to homelessness? We're back to homelessness. We want to know, what are you going to do if some madman has a gun to a child's head? Oh, we're going to cut homelessness policing. And by the way, the homelessness policing, we've talked with experts on this show about the horrific third world homelessness camps that we have around here, about the systemic rapes of women in those camps by their pimp heroin addict boyfriends. But Mosqueda will not answer about the SWAT team because they know that this is disastrous for the side that says we got to get rid of the police.
Those are some really great examples that came from community where we need to be asking the question. So
yeah,
we're doing the analysis right now, and we are looking at all of the options that they have put into the menu of items, and to ask the question about whether or not it should be right-sized.
Right.
Right-size. We're going to right-size the police. So that's an example of how the city council is dealing in this realm of absolute Marxist fantasy of getting rid of the police. But when they are confronted with the reality of what that means in a hostage situation, in a school shooting situation, they suddenly, the homeless navigation teams, they don't have an answer because it doesn't fit with their little fantasy world. So the professionals were out at the city council meeting this morning, and it just, I could play 100 of these, but here's a woman who wants to cut the police by 50%.
Hello, I'm Jasmine Huerta. I live in District 3 on Capitol Hill, and I'm calling to request that you decrease the SPD's budget by at least 50% and reinvest that money into community-led solutions. I'm excited for Decriminalize Seattle and King County Equity Now's four-point plan. I think it's...
Okay. Do you think that this was written out? Do you think that this is somebody who's speaking from the heart? Somebody who can either speak passionately for their reasons to defund the police, or, heaven forbid, somebody actually defending, not defunding, our cops? But it was just these people with their exact 45-second written statements saying, let's get rid of half the cops.
Smart, practical, and a step in the right direction. We ask too much of our police force, and it's clear that it's not working. In the last 60 days, I've witnessed and experienced unconscionable terror at the hands of the SPD. As a society...
unconscionable terror at the hands of the people who created CHOP, our politicians. Then we also found out that we should all just get the heck out of here because we're all living on stolen land.
Kilak, good morning. My name is Siri, and I'm Alaska Native Onengek, therapist, social worker, student, currently living in District 4 on stolen land of the Duwamish people. I'm urging council to support defunding SPD by 50%. The police are tasked with violently enforcing marginalization and displacement of BIPOC peoples, the history of which is worse right here in District 4.
Okay, it's just one red prepared statement after
it. Hi, my name is John Thoreau, and I am here in support of defunding the SPD by 50% by following the comprehensive plan put forward together by King County Equity Now. The police do not keep us safe. They protect systems of white supremacy. Our police violently respond whether crime is occurring, has ended, or is perceived. Every day we see the misuse of this violence and experience the massive damage it has had.
Okay, you've heard enough. I know you've heard enough. I'm going to talk with Mike Solon, president of the Seattle Police Officers Guild, right after the bottom of the hour news for you. He spoke this morning. He was part of the minority of voices. But here's what's so interesting. There is a minority of voices in this debate, but there is a majority of opinion that defunding the police and cutting the police by 50% will be disastrous. It'll be disastrous for law-abiding citizens. For criminals, it will be time to celebrate. Seattle's the place. I mean, seriously, it's already the lowest barrier place to be a heroin addict because heroin is legal in personal possession amounts in King County as decreed by our prosecutor, Dan Satterberg. And now you combine the legalization of heroin and meth with, and because heroin and meth addicts, they usually don't hold down jobs. They steal to get their fix. And so the heroin and meth addicts, not only is this a place where the drugs are legal in King County, but now it's a place where they can break into cars and homes and assault people on the street and do strong-arm robberies and know that the police could never respond? You think Seattle was dying a couple years ago when Channel 4 did that special? Wait until you see if the radicals, the Marxists, get their way in defunding the police. And that is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
As I said, Mike Solon from the Seattle Police Officers Guild was one of the speakers this morning. He's one of the people on the side of common sense on this issue. And he will join us right after we check the news as we get rolling here on the Dory Monson Show. we told you in the big lead, the city of Seattle could be just days away from what we will look back on as the most catastrophic decision in our city's history. If we decide to, not we, if the Seattle City Council decides to defund the police by 50%. There was a city council meeting this morning. One of the speakers was the president of the Seattle Police Officers Guild, Mike Solon, who joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Mike, appreciate you coming on. How did it go this morning?
Dory, my pleasure to be on again. Well, it's quite clear that there is an activist class that is deeply entrenched in the political public safety conversations here. And they bombarded the public comment line, and it was close to 300 people. But I'm confident to say, and I'm positive thinking about this, our stopdefunding.com website in 36 hours, we have over 20,000 signatures that are being used to push against this defunding nonsense and tell the Seattle City Council no on their defunding, naive, dangerous proposal of removing 50% of our budget. Stopdefunding.com.
So this petition is going to go to who?
Well, currently we're going to hold on to it because we're collecting the data as we're hoping to reach as many signatures as possible, and we may possibly release this to the city council to show them, hey, we're not being controlled by the unreasonable activists that you're governing to, and I call it governing by Twitter. This is the majority, the ignored majority I talk to and refer to, the reasonable majority of Seattle citizens and residents across this region that are showing support for law enforcement and saying, no, no more. No more of your unreasonable activism.
I understand all of that, Mike, but they are such radicals, and some of them have exposed themselves clearly as just virulent cop-haters. A petition's not going to change their mind. They are absolutely determined, for all the reasons I've been talking about for years now. They want unrest. They want chaos. They want anarchy. They want to destroy capitalism. They want to impose Marxism, and they know that a police department that is greatly neutered is a tool toward that goal. They will have more crime, they will have more destruction, and they'll have more civic unrest. So do you really think a petition is going to change any of these city council members' minds?
I actually do. I actually do, because what it is political theater to them, as they use political theater in everything they do. Look how they're marching on the city council's personal homes. Their bullying tactics are even trying to influence themselves. It's going to feed on itself. And when we come in heavy with thousands and thousands of signatures to say no more to your unreasonable activism, Dory, that just paves the way for future issues such as referendums or you name it. So I always look at this with a glass half full. It's a positive look that people in support of law enforcement and stopdefunding.com is the start of this pushback against unreasonable activism and governing by Twitter, which the council uses regularly.
Well, I hope you're right. Okay, so what is the timetable? So when are they scheduled to vote on cutting the police by 50%?
Currently, it's scheduled, the last information I had, is this Monday, August 3rd.
Okay, that's what we've got.
Yeah, we have a countdown clock on the website, stopdefunding.com, which says so. Now, if they punt due to the political public backlash, it wouldn't be surprising, because then it shows that the ignored majority is pushing back and their message is being heard. That's why it's still so important for people to go to stopdefunding.com and sign that petition.
Here's the thing, though, Mike. If a couple of them flip, because Jenny Durkin will not sign off. She's already said that. She will not sign off on a 50% cut of the police department. But right now, the council has a veto-proof majority. If a couple of them flip, the mob that's gone to the two counts. Seven of the nine voted for it. They have gone to the two council members who did not vote for it. They've been painting graffiti on their houses. I think they'd be terrified to flip, because then the mob is going to go after the homes of the flippers. I mean, and this is a horrible state that we are in America today, where mobs can just try to use bullying tactics, intimidation, to try to control votes by a city council that would effectively destroy our city even more. But I think those council members would be terrified right now to flip to the side of sanity, because they don't want to put up with the mobs at their house.
Well, anytime you bend to mob justice, that doesn't do anything positive for our society. That's why I'm so positive about this. In 36 hours, we have over 20,000 signatures. The ignored majority is saying no more, and they will not bend to the mob. When we bend to the mob, we lose as a society. We lose as a nation. Seattle and Portland is the epicenter of far-left progressive socialism, neo-Marxism ideology. This is all about November's election, and police are caught in the middle. And so these unreasonable activists, the loud fringe is what I refer to them, that dictate public safety, political discourse in this city, are that just that small microcosm of our community. But they're very loud and they're violent. But it's going to take people to stand up to say enough is enough.
No, and I agree with that. Yeah.
Hopefully these political leaders have courage to say no more. But as you know, Dory, the unreasonable activists tend to feed on themselves, and that's what we're watching play out right now.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and we're four days, 21 hours, 21 minutes. I'm looking at your countdown clock right now. So let's say they don't come to their senses. Let's say they don't care about the 20,000 or 50,000, however many you get by Monday, signatures, and they vote to cut the police. What's the immediate effect? Because I heard from a listener today, longtime Seattle cop, who said that they are afraid that they're going to be job hunting on Tuesday. Are there going to be any immediate implications, ramifications, if the council votes to defund you guys by 50% on Monday?
Immediately, I don't see it playing out, because there's still some contractual issues that obviously the council's not adhering to, meaning collective bargaining agreements between the city and the Seattle Police Officers Guild. So number one, they have to follow the contract. A lot of what they're doing is political grandstanding. But now, as you noticed, due to the backlash from the ignored majority saying no more unreasonable activism, they're backtracking. So I'm confident that reason will win the day and the council will punt this. And what I'm fearful, though, Dory, is what you mentioned earlier, is the mob starting to riot again. And then obviously blaming the police for being the agitators, which is a false narrative. And that started early June.
No, no.
But the ignored majority is loud and strong, just like your audience is. And I need them to go to stopdefunding.com and get involved, please, now more than ever.
Okay. Yep. All right. I would encourage everyone to do that, because I know what the majority is thinking and feeling about our cops. And they know that this is just madness that's going on in the city of Seattle. All right, stopdefunding.com. Mike Solon, president of the Seattle Police Officers Guild. Mike, keep up the fight. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dory. Really appreciate what you do for our region.
All right, thanks, sir. Mike Solon joining us. Go to stopdefunding.com if you want your voice to be heard, and it's more important now than ever. You can also text me at 98973 to share your thoughts. 98973, lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Show rolls on. Got a lot of stuff for you here in this segment. So a couple of days ago, I told you the story about two juveniles in Tacoma who broke into Downing Elementary School. And they trashed the place. They smashed a window to get into the school. And then once they were inside, Police heard a silent alarm. By the way, here, where's this message that I just got? Pierce County Sheriff's Office is hiring right now for Seattle cops who want to get out of the madness. They have 28 positions open in the Pierce County Sheriff's Office. So if you want to make a lateral move to a city that supports its cops, I don't want to lose any great cops here in Seattle, but Pierce County Sheriff's is hiring. They just let me know that. Anyway, down in Tacoma, a couple of kids broke into Downing Elementary School, smashed computers, TVs, windows. When police showed up, they believed that they were trying to steal some of the electronics. Estimated damage over $10,000. The two kids arrested for burglary. And when I first told you the story a couple of days ago, I said, how are kids supposed to keep a straight head? And I asked parents, besides love, what's the most important single word in being a great parent? And there were a lot of responses and a lot of, great words. But the one that I thought of, a bunch of people texted in as well, consistency. We have no consistency as a society. What are kids and their impressionable little brains supposed to think when they see for weeks and weeks rioting in Seattle, windows smashed in businesses, stores looted, criminals walking out with armloads of clothes, and zero arrests are made in Seattle? Zero. Last Wednesday, there were zero arrests for the rioting a week ago today. They made some arrests last Sunday for the rioting then. But for weeks and weeks, months around the country here in Seattle, kids see adults just trashing businesses, stealing stuff, the peaceful protesters, setting fires. And yet when they go do the exact same thing in an elementary school, they get arrested. Where's the consistency? And we're screwing up our kids so desperately. Right now, down in Portland, there were some toddlers, and these kids appeared to be maybe 2, 3, 4 years old. And their parents brought them to a rally. And the little kids, these little toddlers, one of them's just wearing a diaper, are carrying signs with the F word written out. F the police. F Ted Wheeler, the mayor of Portland. F Donald Trump. 2, 3, and 4 year olds. Here's the audio proof of that.
What is it? The police.
All right.
Power to the people. Power to the people.
Thanks, kids.
So the kids are being taught at age 2 and 3 to say the F word. About the police, about the president of the United States, about the mayor of Portland. Those kids have no chance in life because of their parents. And yet, when they grow up, they're going to be the ones smashing windows and accusing the police of being the root of their problems, accusing society of being the root of their problems. They're going to come up with all of these people, groups, organizations to blame when it's right there. It's their parents. If you at age 2 and 3 are being taught by your parents to be vulgar and to, instead of these parents, most of us spend our time as parents trying to help mold, shape these wonderful human beings. And when parents are just using kids as a pawn because the parents won't acknowledge any role that they play in whatever ails their life, it's heartbreaking. But if people don't see how we're screwing up our kids right now, and a lot of it's by design, because the more screwed up all these kids are in the head, the more they will grow up to be criminal, rioter, professional victims. And those are the people that can be most easily controlled by the politicians who are agitating for all of this. But once you see this video, the audio is heartbreaking enough. But of course, we have to bleep it all. When you watch this video and you hear that vulgarity coming out of the mouths of these 2 and 3 year olds, I'm telling you, it's one of the saddest things you'll ever say.
What is it?
The police.
All right.
Power to the people. Power to the people.
Thanks, kids.
So again, I submit for your consideration, what's our greatest problem now as a society? Is it really the cops? Or is it parents and people in you know, direct family contact with our kids who are training our kids to be, I'm sorry, you're training your kid to be a loser in life. If that's the kind of messaging you're giving them at age 2. It is absolutely heartbreaking. Okay, we got so much more to do. Coming up in the Fastest 15, a listener, Dave Irish, you know his name if you're a longtime listener to the show, because he, amidst all of this madness, has written a beautiful song about our cops. So we're going to share that with you coming up. Also, you know all these far-left cities that have been ripped apart by violence and rioting? Portland, Seattle, Baltimore, New York, Philly. You notice Detroit is not on the list? That's because they're not having violence in Detroit. I'll tell you why. Coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show.